Welcome to the Mothers You Know podcast. Thank you for being here. This is a place where we as women remember the spirit God gave us. We know how much we matter, and we believe all things are possible to them that believe on this Savior Jesus Christ. Here at Mothers You Know, we support the parents of young men in the Sons of Helaman and young women in the Daughters of Light programs at Life Changing Services. These programs provide therapeutic and mentoring services for youth struggling with depression, anxiety, self-harm, pornography, and any other unwanted or difficult behaviors. We offer parent support, training, and resources for mothers and fathers seeking the best way to support their loved one. Any mother is welcome to join in the Mothers Who Know classes, support, and training. You do not need to have a child in Life Changing Services to join in. We hope you'll join us. I am Karen Broadhead. I serve as the director of Mothers You Know, and I serve as the parent support specialist at Life Changing Services. I invite you to join with me and other mothers from across the country in our Warrior Mothers Who Know online support and training group. If you have a child struggling with pornography, depression, anxiety, or other difficult behaviors, you will find a safe and uplifting place to learn from other moms and learn principles and strategies to best support your loved one. Please go to motherswhoknow.org to find the online meeting details. We talk about difficult things here with the intent to shine light in dark corners and to eliminate isolation and shame. We are mothers with warrior hearts who are raising the warriors of this generation. We know we must learn to fight well for ourselves first. Then we can confidently support and cheer on our loved ones in the best ways. Welcome, ladies, to Warrior Mothers. Oh, we're so grateful to be here. I'm so grateful to be here. We have Annelity Milne with us today, just before we go into the holidays, which is going to be so wonderful. We're so excited to have her. We love her and appreciate everything she does and her passion for what she does. We just want to wish you so much joy and peace and calm as you're going into Christmas and express our love to you. And I'm going to turn the time over to Debbie today. Thank you, Debbie.
Mm-hmm. So good to be here today. We are meeting with Annelity, who's the director of Daughters of Light, and she always has something fun to share with us, and she takes Q&A questions, and she has answers, hopefully, for us.
Good. Good to be with you, ladies. Annelity, Merry Christmas. Thanks for joining us. One of the requests we had of Annelity is just to, with her mother heart and her own personal experience as well as her professional experience. Yeah, just as we head into the holidays, I just know at my house, just whenever schedules change, even just considering my own self, I become just a little bit more messy. It's just a little bit harder to do things the way I'd like to, or maybe show up the way I'd like to. And it takes a little bit of a mind shift for me to be patient with that and to give grace, because we're all in a transition here, the thing. But I asked Annelity if she would be willing to just share with us whatever's on her mind and heart around that topic. And of course, we just have always and love whatever Annelity does bring to our meetings. Annelity, Merry Christmas. What's something fun going on at your house for Christmas?
My son just got here from Utah, so that's been fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's going to be here for a couple of weeks. I only get to see him once a year pretty much now. It's bad. I hate that. But yeah.
That's so good.
We're going to have lots of holiday celebrations while he's here.
Going to be great. Very good. We're just going to turn it to you, friend.
Okay. Sounds good. Holidays can be delightful, amazing, wonderful, and it can be painful because lots of things happen during the holidays that can be difficult. And because holidays are times we remember, I don't necessarily remember what happened on January 16th, 1925, but but December 25th, I can tell you what happened. No. So they're just memorable dates. One of the ladies that I ministered to, she told us that her husband passed away on Christmas Day 5 years ago. So, oh my goodness, how difficult can Christmas be now for her? So wait,
can I just say, we are honoring one of our women in Mothers Who Know whose husband passed away last year on Christmas Eve, just unexpectedly, and we love her. And I don't see that she's here right now, but that's a deal.
Yeah, it is a deal. It's tough, right? Because Christmas is the day we want to be able to celebrate and to be happy and to play games and open presents and think of Jesus and be with our families and all of those beautiful things. But it's just crazy how it can also be very painful. So of course, today I would love to talk about all the beautiful things about the holidays, but I also want to talk about a little bit of the pain that might be happening during this time. And one of the things I think as mothers that we struggle with these days is, oh my goodness, kids are home for holidays. They're not going to school. And now I have to monitor devices. Now I have to figure out what's going on with them. What are they doing with their time? Now I have to make sure they're checking in with me. And now I have to help them to create safety for their lives in this very difficult world we live in, of lots of media available to us in ways that can be very devastating to our lives. I really believe in all of my studies that our children are being exposed to all kinds of addictive choices. We used to think that street drugs, maybe some prescription drugs, alcohol, smoking, those were the kinds of things that we were most concerned about keeping our children safe from. And we could keep them at a distance. We could say, as long as they're hanging out with good kids, as long as they're not going to places where those things are available, then we can be fairly safe that they are not getting themselves involved in things that could be life-altering. But that's not the case these days, because social media can be life-altering. It can hurt us. It can, if we are not careful, our children can be exposed to predators and all kinds of things that are dangerous. So the question I always am being asked is, how do I have conversations with my children about this world that we live in? And you can control devices, which I think you absolutely should. You absolutely need to be able to have very strong boundaries around your devices. Smartphones are the thing that everybody thinks they need these days, and teachers sometimes even require that they have iPads or smartphones for turning in assignments. And kids are indignant if they don't get their devices. Oh my goodness, the temper tantrums we have to deal with sometimes when our children don't get what they think they deserve, and yet we still have to stand as mothers, as parents, against that wave. And we have to figure out, how are we going to manage the way we feel about it? How are we going to help our children manage the way they feel about it? And how are we going to have family conversations that are productive and not destructive? So I really want to talk today about productive and not destructive. So, as in my profession, one of the things we talk about generally is parenting styles. And we like to say the best, there are, let's say, three general types of parenting styles. There are the permissive type, there is the authoritarian type, and there's the authoritative type. So the permissive type would be, you know, I don't really care. You can do whatever what you want. You'll figure it out. You're going to navigate this world as best as you possibly can. You can free range and wander all you want. Now, I do love free range parenting. I'm not going to lie. I felt like I was free ranged. However, we had very strong structures in my household. So I'm not saying that permissive parenting is free ranging necessarily, but permissive parenting is no rules, no structure in the household, lots of chaos. Authoritarian kind of parenting is going to be highly restrictive, no free ranging, and absolutely 100% control. You cannot do one thing without me knowing you're doing it. I have to keep you safe from every obstacle, everything that might ever come your way. I need to make sure that you are behaving in certain ways, that you show up representing our family in ways that we approve of. So that can be destructive in and of itself. And yet I do believe to some degree, we feel that is the best way to do our parenting these days because the world is so scary. How can we trust that our children are going to be safe? How can we trust in their own internal GPS system that it's going to actually be able to point true north? And in the scriptures, we're taught, teach them true principles and let them govern themselves. And how can that be the case these days? That has got to be old doctrine. Because, oh my goodness, you can't just teach them and then expect them to not get exposed and not have predators after them these days. Come on. There's that. But then there's that middle ground, that authoritative parenting style that says, we believe in free ranging. We let you have your freedom. We know that we are doing our very best to teach you. And we absolutely know that we know what is true and good and right because we've been teaching it to you. And we have a very good family structure that supports that. And we are here to support you. And we believe in your ability to navigate this world. And because we believe in your ability to navigate this world, we are going to be here as resources to you as children and as part of our family. And as part of a resource, what we want to be able to do is enlist you in helping us help you. Remember, I said productive, not destructive. That is productive. When we have parents who are willing to lead, willing to provide structure, also willing to let the bumps and scrapes and bruises of the world gain access to our children. And we know if we don't treat them in that way, that they will be too coddled. We have to think about the principle of the butterfly. We have to let the butterfly emerge out of its chrysalis on its own without help. Otherwise, it will die. So we don't want to raise children who are weak. And in that way, they have to be able to figure out how to use their own muscles. And of course, there's appropriate ways to do that according to their own developmental stages. And it is important for us to know as parents, what is the appropriateness of different things at developmental stages? And our children, are our children at those developmental stages? So my thoughts over the holidays would be to, because we want to be authoritative parents and we want to provide structure and we want to enlist their help to help us help them, enlist their help to help us help them, then I think one of the very best things we can do when our children go on vacation for a couple of weeks, have holiday break, that we have some kind of structure that we offer them at the beginning of it. I am a huge proponent and advocate for family executive council meetings. If we're having a family council meeting, we want to talk about what are we going to do during the Christmas break. I have to say, implementing the council meeting was much more difficult than maintaining our council meetings. Once we started implementing it, it became something that my children just knew we did on Sunday afternoons, and Sundays were so dedicated to our time schedule and to counsel and to meeting with each one of our kids and making sure that we had structure available to the children. Because if we didn't have that structure, then free ranging became much more difficult and hard for me to manage. And I tend toward the permissive side. I'm the one who says yes before I say no. And you may be the one who says no before you say yes. But because I know myself well enough, I try to hedge myself in. And when I hedge myself in around systems, then I know that I'm going to show up for myself as a mother and show up for them as a parent. So I hedge myself in with that system of a family council. I recommend that you all start implementing that if you haven't done so far. And family council, this Christmas, this is what I hope happens. I hope the conversation is going to go something like this. Kiddos, brothers and sisters, children's, I don't know, however you want to say it. Let's talk about what's going to happen during Christmas break. First thing on the agenda is safety. I am interested to know, on a scale from 1 to 10. So I'll explain the scale in just a minute, but on a scale from 1 to 10, much are you struggling to keep yourself safe from material or media on the internet that could be harmful or could be inappropriate or could be something that's outside of your values? And I would say it in all those different ways. 10 being, oh my gosh, I cannot keep myself safe at all. It's just pervasive to me 100% all day long. And 0 being, I'm actually in a really good place. I know where my devices go every single night. I know what hours I have to be on my device, and I'm unable to access websites or apps that could be harmful to me. So we're just going to ask our kids to do a scaling. If you get a 10, then you say the question. You ask the question. How can we help you? What can we do that's going to keep you, help you keep safer? Because if you're not safe in our home, oh my goodness, you won't be safe anywhere. And we want you to be safe here. We want you to feel safe here. If you get something around a 4 or 5, you can say, okay, you're doing pretty good. How can we batten down the hatches just a little bit more for you so that you can feel like you understand your boundaries better, or you can stay within your boundaries better? And then you follow through on that. Mom and dad have some work to do. to keep the kids safe. If they are not honest, that is painful because this is their opportunity to chat and talk. And I would do it as a council, meaning I would have all the kids there because we're not just targeting one child. We're targeting the entire family. What are we doing in our family that's helping you be safe? Maybe we don't have bedtime rules. Maybe we're not saying all the devices have to come to this central location at 9 o'clock at night, and this is where the recharging station is, and you cannot take phones or any devices into bedrooms with you. Maybe we're not providing enough filters on our router. Maybe we are not having enough parental controls on their phones. And this is an opportunity for them to say, oh, mom, you need to probably check this. My phone has more accessibility than you thought it did. Okay, I'll write that down. We'll get to that. We're just going to talk about all the ways that what we can do as a family. Do we want to create some family rules? Do we want to create some more boundaries? What's going to help? And then I'm very interested in speaking to each one of my children individually. And of course, I think that's a system that you should do on a regular basis, that you don't just randomly say, oh, we're going to do individual counseling meetings or PPIs with each one of the kids randomly. I like to do it systematically. So we personally did it every single week. If a PPI takes 5 minutes, it takes 5 minutes, but it's a check-in. And our PPIs, or the PPI would be like a personal priesthood interview that dad gave, but priesthood, I'm part of the priesthood too. So mom and dad were both there in that interview with our kids. And we called it mentor meetings because we wanted to be able to have an opportunity to be a parent mentor to our children. So each week, my kids knew they got to have a mentor meeting with mom and dad. And they got to bring anything they wanted to the meeting, and we got to bring what we wanted to the meeting. And the first thing on the agenda was always, what do you want to talk about today? I want to talk this about this and this and this. And I had some kids that were much more talkative than other kids. And then so it's my turn. This is what I want to talk about today. And then we would talk about different things that would happen. Recently, I was talking to one of my clients and she said, I was on the router check and I found a couple of websites that were blocked that were concerning to me, that it seemed to me that someone was trying to access. And she said, should I talk to each one of my children and confront them with it? Or should I talk to them generally as a family? And I want to throw that out to you. If you have a system where you're talking as a family and a system where you're talking individually, what do you think is most appropriate when you find something on a router that might be sketch? Would that be something you want to talk individually or as a family about? What are your thoughts?
Okay. Well, I don't have kids at home, but I don't think anybody, in my opinion, people feel less threatened when they're not ratted out in front of their peers.
Yeah.
So okay. To me, it would be individual.
Okay. What if you didn't know?
Just ask each one individually. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because you wouldn't want to be able to, in front of my brothers and sisters, raise my hand. That was me.
I'm the bad guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one thing that came to my mind was exactly what said, but I also thought if there's a culture in your home that you're creating with these councils, often it can decrease shame.
Yeah.
It can decrease, maybe create more of a, we're all here supporting each other. We're all on this mortal journey together. This is hard. And there's lots of obstacles and lots of enticements. And so anyway, I can see how, whether you said, hey, this is what we noticed, and we are so aware of, you know, the enticements in our world and
how curious we get. We get it. And then just an invitation, whether it's right there to raise your hand if it's you, but just we really would love rather than any of you, so you could teach everybody at the same time. Any of you, we would like you to, because that's a not safe thing. Yeah. Could you come and talk to us? So you don't, it doesn't even have to be in the meeting where they raise their hand.
Hey.
Yeah.
So you could do it either way is what I'm hearing you say. Maybe you could do it individually and then, or maybe you just do it in generally in the meeting. Hey, I realize that this is happening. We are here. Please come talk to us if we can help you with something. Yeah. I love that. Linda, you had your hand raised. What are your thoughts?
I had a situation where I had a child who was actually looking at pornography. We found it on the computer. And instead of saying, I think it's you, is it you? I took my kids and I said, this is what we found. And this is, if you guys need help, we're here for you. I also said, if I find that you're trying to erase things and things like that, I'm just going to assume it's something you don't want me to see. And so I took it to my kids and I didn't blame anybody. And I didn't say, I suspect one of you. I just said, let me know if you need some help. And eventually that child fessed up, but I would never have said, is it you, and blamed them in front of their brother and made it a shameful thing.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk to both of them because I wasn't quite sure which one it was. I had a suspicion, but I wasn't sure. And so I wanted to let the family know what was going on. And that child eventually did. But I would never have pointed him out and said, this is you, and I know it's you. And I would never have done that.
Yeah. Because, we don't want to create an atmosphere of shame.
Right.
So what you're saying actually reminds me of one of my other clients who actually downloaded an app that was a social media type app that probably was very sketchy. She started having a conversation with this person that she thought was safe. And then this person asked for some things from her and she ended up sending those things to this person. And in the end, she realized this maybe isn't a good idea. And then in the end, things had to get reported and there was a predator on that app and it's caused some trauma for this sweet girl. And it's not just pornography that we want to be concerned about. It's what kind of apps our kids are having access to, gaming, violent gaming, or any kind of gaming that creates a lot of dopamine so that it gets them more addicted to that. TikTok and scrolling can be super addictive. So we're not just talking about those inappropriate ones too. We're also talking about how to keep ourselves safe from addictive behaviors with any kind of device. And we don't necessarily want to shame them for that. Yes. Okay. So the question was, do we talk as a family or do we talk as individually? And I think we came to, okay, we could do it successfully both ways, maybe without shaming. So if we are going to be authoritative parents and not authoritarian parents, meaning we are going to have structure and free range, what do you think is a good emotional response for us to have when we start these conversations with our children? What kind of emotional state do we want to be in? What are your thoughts? Okay.
Sorry, I don't want to monopolize, but I've had experiences. Basically, I always, before I talk to my kids, I usually pray because I want the spirit there, and it can't be there if you're going to be angry or accusatory or frustrated or blaming or anything like that. I wanted the spirit there so that he could direct the conversation. Mm-hmm. And if I didn't do that, I found the conversation did not go the way I wanted it to. And so I learned very quickly that I had to have the spirit there. Sometimes we would even pray as a family. If we're doing a family council, we would have a family prayer before we started. so that everyone could be calm and collected and talk in a loving, calm, peaceful manner and not get angry. And
yeah, pray before you go into. And the question I had was what kind of emotional state that you want to be in. And I think maybe if you're praying, that maybe you're suggesting a state of peace.
Yeah, because you're a lot more calmer and peaceful, and the spirit is directing your conversation. And so you're not going to be angry or scared or whatever the emotion is going into it, because the spirit will help you feel a different
peace. I'm just going to tell you something that's not necessarily true.
Well, okay, you're right, but it does help.
Yeah, it does help a lot.
I was scared that my child was going down a path that I did not want him to. Mm-hmm. And I was terrified that he was going to go to hell or something at the time. And so I was like, I've got to save this child. I was very like that. But if I went into a conversation with him, when I prayed, I did not portray that feeling towards him. And as like I said, when we did family councils, we almost always prayed as a family, just so that the conversation and that the feeling would not be anger or blame or frustration or any of those things, that we would have a better chance of being peaceful and calm.
Yeah. Thank you. Did you have your hand up? Just wondering. But I saw your hand up.
Can I add?
Yes.
I loved it, Linda. For me, it would be, I would need to be in a place of faith and trust in Heavenly Father and not fear, because
love that. So here's the thing I want you to know. You can actually be experiencing trust and fear at the same time. And your body is going to be the tell. If you can feel the butterflies or the tightness in the chest, you know what? It's going to be fear. And you can still be in a place of trust. I'm glad you brought that up, because if you remind yourself, I'm going to be in a place of faith and trust, even though I'm experiencing fear, then I know that the conversation is going to go as well as it possibly can go. That may not be perfect, but yes, we can experience those dichotomous emotions inside of us and still be able to show up for our children in calmness. So I think that I'm going to read this. Someone said neutral. Let's see. She said, charitable, neutral, regulating my own emotions. That is a great response, because if I'm in a place of regulation where I'm willing to say I'm noticing what is happening inside of me and I'm willing to regulate what's happening inside of me, I can always be in the moment. But if I'm not willing to be in a place of regulation, it's hard for me to be in the moment. I will always be in the past or in the future. So it says calmness. Yes, we can appear to be calm and still have a storm raging inside. It says it helps to distinguish between who is what. The behavior is separate from the person. So if you can demonstrate that they are still okay and that you are concerned about what they are doing. Yeah, I love that, because who is not the problem. Usually it's the what that is the thing we're trying to figure out. Yeah. The who is still my beautiful child. Okay. Are there any questions about that? Experiencing those dichotomous emotions and knowing that you can still be in a place of faith and trust. What are the thoughts or comments about that? Why do you think we're afraid? What's the driving force behind being fear? She says, I only have one enemy and it's not my child. I love that. Yeah. Yeah. What do you think makes us afraid? What is it that?
Well,
I think the thing that makes me afraid is you go from this point to the worst case scenario in your mind as a mom. You think, oh no, this is going to, they're going to end up here. And your worst case scenarios are coming into, it's really easy for those emotions to just fly away from us.
Fly away. Yep. Good point. Thank you. We become afraid because our brain goes from 0 to 60 really fast on how bad it could get.
Oh, we don't want to mess it up. We want to get it right. I'm nervous. It makes me nervous.
I totally hear you. I want to get it right. I don't want to make mistakes with this. Yeah.
I think for me, sometimes I was afraid of their reaction.
Okay. Yeah. That's one of the hardest ones for me, actually.
Yeah.
I tend towards the permissive. I don't want my children to feel bad. And I don't want them, yeah. It's just, I don't want them to throw temper tantrums. I don't want them to be angry with me. Super hard for me to experience that. I notice that anytime my children show up that way, I get butterflies in my stomach and tightness in my chest. And I think, I can't do this. I can't keep holding this bar. I don't want to keep holding this bar. And I have to. Yeah.
Yeah. And when they're struggling, I feel like when you start asking the questions, then their reaction is blaming you. And it can get really volatile if you don't have your, for me, I have to have go-to sentences so I can keep calm. Otherwise, it just can escalate so fast because you're not to blame. That is so ridiculous that you're even saying that.
Yeah.
Which that's just spinning round and round. That's
yeah, so. Because their brain is in a satanic attack and you can't get caught up in that tornado, right?
Yeah. So I think I often avoid it because just where are they at? Where's that going to go? Am I in the right place to have the right response? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah.
I like that, memorizing those scripts, because that does help you stay more calm.
Yeah. So I always have to go into those. I don't have to have the solution to everything and I can't take a timeout.
Oh, I love that. And I can take a timeout. Yeah. What else do you think is coming up for us that causes us to be afraid?
Afraid of my own reaction. I don't want to react poorly and cause distance. And because I would say primarily my older kids, I raised my kids in fear, kept them corralled, and that doesn't end well. Everything and can end well.
Because, yeah. Can't raise them like that, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think one thing too is if you've been working with a child and you know that they have a pattern of behavior that's, oh, it's not safe for them, or it's destructive, or it's not helping. And you do a lot of trying around it and working on things with them. And anyway, I just think that's one of the things too, as you notice we're slipping, right? And we're coming to this topic again. Mm-hmm. And so you're noticing everything I'm trying isn't working, or how come they can't do what I say or do what they said they were going to do? I think that's a really fear-inducing thing too. It just frustration and fear and hopelessness, because it can be fear-inducing when you notice this is getting worse, not better.
Yeah. So if we ask the question on a scale from 0 to 10, how much are you struggling keeping yourself safe? And we hear a 10. Oh my gosh, that can be seriously. Mm-hmm. It can really be painful. Yeah.
But and the fact that they're self-aware in saying that, I just think that's such a win.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm an advocate for using that scale often, because it gives you a measure, it gives them a measure, and it takes the content out of the conversation. And now we're talking about the struggle instead of the content. So if you ask the question on a scale from 0 to 10 and you get a 7, what do you think should be your plan of action? Let's say a 7 is pretty high. Yeah. What do you think would be a good plan of action?
I think a keen awareness, if they're working a sense of healing program, a keen awareness of the manpower goals and just, okay, let's just maybe check and see how these are. When do you want to?
Yeah.
Are you running to the, what are your flagpoles? Maybe we need to make them a little more intense, a little more physical.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that.
And yeah, I like that. A keen awareness of the manpower goals. Yeah. We have the same thing in Daughters of Light and Warrior Women. So you could say, what are your weak power of light goals? I rarely get mothers who hear from who have heard enough from their daughters, I'm at a 10, mom. And I can guarantee you there are many girls out there at a 10. Social media, all kinds of things that are causing them distress in their lives, online, written material. So expect to hear 7, 8, 9s, and 10s from your daughters. And then once you get a how much are you struggling scale on 0 to 10, how do you figure out where to go next with, oh, my daughter said an 8. What exactly is she struggling with? Did I know she was struggling? So what should be our next step?
I feel like when you're at about an 8, I know when I'm at an 8, I need support.
Yeah.
That's getting intense.
Yeah, that's really intense.
So I would check maybe her support. I don't know how transparent kids feel they can be with other kids who are not in a Sunday Healing program. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that 7 or 8, they definitely need some support. Yeah, something, somewhere.
Yeah, anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere. Whether it's a therapist, a coach, or a young women's group, or a young men's group, or Sons of Helaman, or Daughters of Light. At a 7, 8, 9, or 10, they definitely need some support. Do you want to know what it is they're struggling with? If it's a girl and they say, I'm at an 8, mom, are you interested in that?
I'm interested if they're interested in telling. Would you like to share anything, or do you just want to keep that and we'll just talk about principles?
Sometimes I use the phrase, can you help me understand more?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you be willing to help me understand more? And when you can get more direction, you get a better idea of, okay, so it's this, maybe this is the support they need. You may need to gather more information to help you know what direction to go from there. I'm telling you though, 100%, if they are an 8, 9, or 10, 7, 8, 9, or 10, I agree. They are going to definitely need some support. And that can be support in your household or outside of your household. My daughter's family in-laws this year have decided to do a goal setting support group. So they're all together, getting together once a month and reviewing goals with each other and just trying to be more proactive about their goal setting. Something even as if there's a group in the community that is willing to do something like that can be very helpful. And you're so welcome to use the manpower or girl power calendars to enhance that experience if there is a support group. And Karen has access to those. And Daughters of Light, we do Power of Light. We don't do the girl power, but it's Very similar. Our power of light is actually, we have a couple of the goals that are actually in the journal themselves itself. So that's why it's called power of light. And we have a specific goal that we spend a focused time on understanding the characteristics of God that can help me to have more faith in him. And that becomes, because this becomes a big challenge for our young women, believing they can have enough faith to have the help that they need and support that they need. Yeah. What else could be a response if you get an 8, 9, or 10 on that scale?
I was just thinking about how poorly I did these kinds of things years ago. And I was also considering a meeting that I had recently with a mom, and she was very sad and upset and angry. And I totally can, that's such a hard thing when you find out they're high on the scale and it's been going on for a while and you didn't know and that kind of stuff. Anyway, but I just, one of the things I said, leaned into what said, which is the thing we want to do is lock it down. We want to lock it down. We want to get everybody understanding and hearing us, right? Loud enough that everybody's safe, kind of a thing. And then we become hyper-vigilant, maybe. And so I just was thinking in that meeting, even an expression to your question, what else could we say? What else could we do? In that meeting, it just came out that one of the best things, best approach might be to be able to consider her own, caring for her own feelings so that she could actually do this. But having empathy for how painful and scary that must have been to be suffering with those things for that long by themselves.
Yeah.
And to express this deep empathy. Oh, I'm so sad that you were by yourself, right? You have so much help and so much love, kind of a thing.
I never wanted you to be by yourself.
Yeah. So anyway, that was a good, just a shift of, rather than I'm in charge of everybody being safe. And you are unsafe, which is bad. And how did you get there? And we've already talked about all that. Just to be like, okay, it is what it is. It can't change. This is what it is.
Yeah.
And then to be able to say, okay, then I need to, yeah. Our emotions get so strong with the people we love the most.
And the fear gets so high.
Yeah. Yep. And those are the relationships that we want to nurture the most. And often we do a lot to sabotage that.
Mm. Well, it's a satanic attack for sure, right? The Satan for sure knows how we are feeling about certain things. Karen, I have a doctrinal question for you. This is a common satanic attack when we're talking about mothers and their experience with fear. Doctrinally, do we believe in hell for our children? Do we believe our children can, or do we believe any of us, or do we believe we're going to go to a hell? Do we believe in hell?
I would say that we definitely can think we do, but I think doctrinally we are taught that because of Heavenly Father's fabulous plan and Jesus Christ's ability to help us work his plan, even really messy, that there's just so much hope, and there's a slow motion miracle, long game that we need to consider under eternal truths.
Yeah. I think that would be helpful for any mother to reconsider how she thinks about that, so that the fear can be contained a little bit more. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I think one of the things I've heard so much is, now they're not going to be with us in the celestial kingdom because they're misbehaving it that poorly. It's that bad. It's that much. Yeah. To consider, the catastrophizing of
circumstance.
Yeah. Can blind us to eternal truths.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that for sure is a satanic attack. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Oh, I think Satan loves to get moms in a spin and crazy about stuff.
Yeah. And he wants us to misinterpret the doctrine.
Yeah.
Nancy, did you have something you want to say?
Just the thought came to me what Elder Holland says, that nobody can be too low or too deep to reach where the love of Christ cannot reach them. And I think we know that to be sons of perdition, we don't even know what that means. I don't think that applies to our children whatsoever. Mm-hmm. There's always hope.
Yeah.
There's always Jesus.
Yeah. I love that, Nancy. And I think it's super important for us to maintain that relationship with God. So in my mind, one of the first go-tos when I hear, one of my first go-tos needs to be when I hear my child say, I'm at a 9 or an 8 or a 10. My first go-to has to be, Jesus loves me and Jesus loves him. Jesus loves her. And we can take so much hope in that right now. And just right now in this moment. Yes.
Nelody, I actually don't know how to raise my hand, so I'm just going to unmute, but I'm actually, when I listened to conference this last time, what really stood out to me was President Oak's talk about the three kingdoms of glory, and then President Nelson talked about also our agency with the kingdom that we would be in, and it actually gave me a little bit of fear and a little bit of concern for my son. And so I've been studying President Oak's talk, and what he says was not what I thought I knew about the celestial kingdom, which is what we now live in right now. He said the celestial kingdom is he who cannot abide a terrestrial glory. And that describes those who reject the Savior and have observed no divine limits on their behavior. This is the kingdom where the wicked abide after they have suffered for their sins. These are described in modern revelation as those who received not the gospel of Christ, neither the testimony of Jesus. These are those who are liars and sorcerers and adulterers and whoremongers and whosoever loves and makes a lie. So it gave me comfort because my son, he struggles with sexual addiction. But he loves Jesus, and I know he prays, and I know he has a testimony of Jesus.
Yeah.
And I know that he doesn't want this struggle. He doesn't always put good boundaries, and he's doing better, but I think he could do even better. And he's 21. And so there's not a ton I can do because he's very private about what he wants to share with us, but it's given me comfort to know that in my understanding, the celestial kingdom isn't hell. There's an actual hell. And I don't think he's going to be in the celestial kingdom because he loves, there. So anyway, I think that was a warning in conference for us to know that and it was also a very good informative for us to know that we have our agency to choose which kingdom will be in our most comfort, we will be most comfortable in. But it doesn't mean that we who strive to be in the celestial kingdom won't be able to visit our family in the terrestrial kingdom if that's where they choose to be. I feel like God is not going to make it so that we can't visit our family. And I also feel, and I need to study up on this, that when we're in our kingdoms, we're still going to be able to grow. And
especially in the millennium, we're not going to have Satan. Satan will be bound. And so I think my son will grow better in the millennium. I think this is just a really hard mortal experience and weakness to have on this as a mortal being here on this earth. And I think he can grow. So I have hope is what I'm saying. I have hope.
And I'm just telling you, it ain't over till the fat lady sings. He still has every day that he can fight his battles. And as long as he's fighting every single day, absolutely. I don't even care if he lost a battle. If he dies the next day, if he was fighting, he died on the battlefield.
And that's what I'm learning, being a part of this group and listening to Maurice, and I just am really trying to study about the whole Adam and Eve and how she says, and I hope this is okay to say this out loud, but she says, is there no other way? Does that mean that we have to go through pain? Like, we have to, in order to have joy. And I wish that my son didn't have this weakness. Even after all of the study and all of these meetings, I still wish that he didn't have this specific addiction. I wish it was something different, like health problem or something else. So I'm still learning and I need to grow more, but I am learning that that is what we're here for, is to experience pain.
Yeah. Thank you for your thought. I appreciate that. All right, Karen, I do have to wrap up. I am wondering, Karen, if you can tell me one thing you feel like was valuable for you today and you just want to take away and say, that was what I'm going to take away from our conversation today. Can you just share one thing with me?
Let's see. I think one of the things was your encouragement about councils and how beneficial and how it creates a space that everybody can count on. That's a really safe culture in a family, especially if parents are just like, it's not here to judge you or to discipline you. We're just wanting to be mentors and support that.
Yeah.
And the other thing was just your statement of, can you help me understand more? I think that's a great way to go to the next safe place.
Or yeah.
Would you be willing to help me understand more? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful safe place, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, ladies, for inviting me. I'm going to scooch and leave you guys to whatever it is you do after I'm gone.
Thank you so much.
Merry Christmas to you all.
Merry Christmas. Thanks, Anality.
Bye-bye.
So good. Bye-bye. Yeah, I have to say, I'm just so grateful for you ladies expressing the real of what is happening. When you were just sharing about, here's what I'm doing, here's what I'm learning, here's what I'm noticing, and how it's changing you. Even though you notice your son is doing better, but your understanding of the gospel and you turning to Jesus Christ and his gospel for comfort and peace and understanding and knowledge is changing you. And that's why I love you, sisters. Your sharing creates such a spirit of truth and light here that speaks really loudly that Jesus Christ lives. He helps us heal. He gives us hope. So I just love when you share, because I think that's one thing that mother has been so beneficial for. It isn't just to, let's just learn all about what we should be doing. It's, let's just learn about, yeah, that this is going to be hard and there's a better way to go about a mess, because you can't really avoid messes. Some of them are just going to happen because mortality is real. We do the deep work. So I'm just grateful for your sharing. What are some of the takeaways you ladies had? She asked me what my takeaways were. What are some of the ones that you had, you gals? Yeah, let's see.
Thank you, Karen. First, my takeaway was, again, you ladies are so incredible, and I love Anelody, and I hope you can express to her our appreciation for having her on here today. And then I have a question that came up from what we were talking about. I was hoping maybe you or anyone else could answer it for me, Karen.
Sure, yeah, we'll give it a try.
Okay, so I have a child in my home that is an adult and has OCD and has not read like Dragon's Day Did Fight and is not well versed in like that or any of what we get to learn here, all the wonderful truths. And so when I talk about Satan's attacks, and I always try to say how much I get attacked all the time, this child thinks that I'm saying something bad about her, and I'm totally not. And I try really hard to make sure that's clear. But how do you communicate that better?
So what I'm hearing you say is that when you're interacting with this child, and you mention being attacked by the adversary and that the adversary is involved in our human experience. And when you mention that to her, rather than taking it as, that's good to know, she takes it as, you're saying something bad about me because you're saying Satan, that I let Satan influence me. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. And her OCD makes it harder for her.
Okay, so she like perseverates in her thinking.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Okay, I'm going to say one thought that comes to my mind, and then I'd love to open it up, ladies, about what came to your mind when she asked that question. One thought would be, because I'm pretty sure, I would imagine your daughter functions well, and that she thinks well, and she's an intelligent person and can work things out.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, good. Definitely.
Okay. So then I would probably tell her or ask her, how can we go about this differently? How can I be more sensitive to how this affects you? I wonder if we could practice and be aware of, how can we change it? Because if she has, and you absolutely know, however this rolls off and then starts going in the cycle in her mind, it's really hard for her to stop. And yeah, just, it would be a place that would need to be supported. So asking her, is there a way that I can say things like that that would be a lot more helpful to you? That's my first suggestion.
That's so brilliant. Thank you, Karen.
Anybody else?
I feel like talking about Satan has become easier for me. When I read Larry Lawrence's 2017 article in April, The War Continues, or something like that, The War Goes On, when he says that being part of this world is like we're subject to opposition. And so maybe if the word opposition is easier to stomach, or our enemy, he works on all of us, and none of us are exempt. We don't get an exemption here. No, we just get to learn how to work with it. And mom sees that, but daughter's still in experience with it. She's still young, doesn't. No, but I think opposition helps, but I don't know, just that's such a beautiful lead out, Karen, is that help me understand, does this word work for you, or what works for you to convey, and how can I convey to you that my belief system is that this is the way it is. Just because Satan's working on you doesn't mean you're doing something wrong or you're bad, or it just means you live here with us.
So good. Yeah, another thought too, when you consider all of your family, even the way that I talk out loud about things that I'm passionate about has to be adjusted in the way that I talk about those things with different family members, right? Some of them are like, I'm on your page, right? I'm totally with you on that. And others are more, I'm not ready for that. I don't really want to talk about that. I don't like that. You ladies have probably heard some of you, me say that I want everybody to get in my boat because it's such a good boat and it works so well on this water that we're in. But I have family members that say things like, we really like that you like your boat. We see that makes you happy, but we don't want to get in your boat. And so it's almost like we have to know, okay, it's okay for me to enjoy this boat, to believe in the safety of this boat and row it all around, but then come back around and maintain a relationship with these people that are saying, no, thank you. No, thank you. But yeah, I do think there's a space there to navigate where everybody has a respect for everybody else and where they're at. So I just noticed that, yeah, I have to adjust a lot depending on whose presence I'm in and how I'm talking, even if it's just about myself and what I'm experiencing, because I want them to, yeah. I want the interaction I do have with them, the time I do spend with them, to produce just more connection, and we are understanding each other or trying to, or it doesn't always work. And there are seasons where I don't even know how to navigate that. So I just try to avoid it a little bit, for sure. Thanks. Let's go to you.
The takeaway that I thought was helpful for me is to have, but not having children in the home, just grandchildren coming to visit over the holidays and a husband, is having a scale from 1 to 10 that just helps everybody know where you're. My husband and I have used a scale in the past years. We haven't used it lately and maybe should, but okay, this is how I feel about it on a scale from 1 to 5. And it helps you to know what's really important, or I don't care, whatever you think, you know? And so I think that makes, if we know where our kids or grandkids or whoever, husbands, whatever, know where they are. And like she said, safety is the very most important thing in the home, then it's good to know even where you are on a scale from 1 to 10. And that was just my takeaway.
I love that. That was good. I think we might have more comments around that. So good. I saw you going for your button a while ago.
I thought it was interesting because I had a question in my mind come up too. And I think it was that brought up that question between how Satan gets in to make us fear as mothers, because, and I had that spectrum too of, I feel like there's eternal progress after this life. Like, I feel like, because sometimes you'll read a quote and you'll think, my child really isn't loving Jesus right now, or my child isn't wanting to try every day, or you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that fear can come in again. But I go back and forth because I think, okay, I think there's going to be progress in the next life, like where even if someone's in lower kingdom, they can progress eventually. I don't know that, right? Like that's just a hope that I have. But then I was thinking, I want to get these ladies' advice on processing that with the quote, because President Nelson said, you know, that this life is a nanosecond, but what a crucial nanosecond it is. And he says, that's because our choices today determine what kind of lives we will live forever. And then that thought always comes into my mind by Joy Jones, eternity is the wrong thing to be wrong about. So then I'm like, the other extreme now, that what does that mean with expression? If it's so important, is there progress? And then it makes me back into that fear again. You know what I mean? Oh, but if someone's not trying and they're not following the plan, how do we process those thoughts? Anyway, that was my question that came up when we were talking about that.
Mm-hmm. So is that just I'm just wondering, and that's what I experienced, was that question, or is that really a question?
Yeah, no, I would love to hear other people, how they process that for their people and future, and really determines how we're going to live eternally, what we do in this life. Then that is scary to some people who aren't at a good place in this life. You
know what I mean? Yeah, so good. I have it looks like Nancy has something. Yeah, go for it.
No, I just don't understand what the big deal is about genealogy if it doesn't make people can't change in the next life. We do this work for them, and I've done it for nobody in my family, nobody in Larry's family were members of the church. And yet we've done all of their genealogy. Does that mean they're not going to change no matter what? I don't want to believe that. I hope not. I think that once they can get away from Satan and the influences and see the whole picture, there's going to be a lot of changing going on for a lot of people, maybe even us when we get there, who knows? But I think there's definitely change forever, possibly forever.
I had a sacred experience after my brother died. I worried about his salvation because I'm a woman and I worry about everybody. No. And I was actually in the inquiry and very close to the Lord and going through a divorce and just needing him and knowing that I needed him. And I was like, gosh, wow. He left his family in a mess, all the women in his family and the women in his life. And I just wondered about, I'm like, oh gosh, I just felt so bad. I identified with his wife, his daughters, and I inquired of the Lord, and I don't want to preach it as doctrine, but what came to me, what gave me comfort, or what was like, oh, yeah, wow, okay, is that my brother loved my mom. And when she died, he had a hard time, and he went messy. He got a little messy with that. And I understand getting messy when things are hard. And anyway, he said, it was like, how do I put into words a download? But it was that relationship to mom influences his question, influences mine. He didn't know where to turn, even though he was raised with it, right? But he just didn't know what to do because he had left those beliefs. And there's grace. And mom still has that influence that she had when he was here. And Satan still has his angels on the other side, whatever. They still work on you. But I know how strong that bond is. And it's really encouraged me to be the best mom that I can, to not let my children down in the sense that like I'm human, but that we still connect. We have this something, a bond between all of them and myself and each one of them. I want them to be like Brigham Young, fighting over who mom loved them most. Brigham Young with his wife. But anyway, and it just rings me so true. And I can't prove any doctrine, but it was just like, my mom has a lot of influence. Therefore, we have a lot of influence with the people that we connect with and we interface with on this world. And that's good news. To me, it was just very helpful because I know my mom was stirring my head. And that just lets me, okay, I'm going to put my efforts into my behavior and quit preaching to everybody, because that's what I did when I have little kids. It's preach, fear, preach. And they hate that.
So good. I will say that I empathize and totally hear you. That is a thing. I just think that, oh, when we think about our mom power training and how often we say, stay by the tree. And how often we say, how do I own my own battlefield? How do I own my field? How am I doing that? And I just think that Satan is highly strategic and determined because he can influence our thoughts to keep our attention over there where we have no power. He wants to keep our attention over there, right? That whole, he knows that our brain will support the thoughts if the feelings that the person is having are strong and hurt or worried or afraid, then he knows there's a scientific process and just humans. This is how they work. What holds their attention will hold them. He knows that. And if I can get them to focus on this, they'll get more of that. And so there's this letting go that has to do with our spheres of influence, where our business is. We have this awareness that that does look a little bit tricky over there. It could totally pull me in. And I could become a little bit bugged, miserable, and sad, and even angry. There is doctrine, I think, to understand. And I think seeking the spirit, because part of the enticement is there's something holding us that says, this person, because that's the way they're acting, means they're going to go sit at a chair in another table over there. Right? They're not going to be with us or whatever. This was tormenting me so severely in my life with a loved one that I finally set up an appointment with the bishop because I was just consumed. I couldn't stop thinking about how much that bugged me and how I wanted something different and seeing what it was causing for them and everybody else. It was growing. My discomfort was growing. So I set up just to counsel with the bishop and tell him, I'm struggling so much with this. And I wondered if you could maybe give me some counsel and shed some light on this for me. And anyway, I tell him the circumstance and how I'm just so hurt, so frustrated. And he said, why are you so frustrated? And I said, because, and I had exactly what you said in my head, that scripture that I think we memorized from our seminary stuff, right? This life is the time for men to prepare to meet God, right? And this is what you're doing here, and you're not doing it. That means that this is going to mean something later. And so anyway, he said, so what is this life? What does that represent? And I said, mortality. And this is what the bishop said to me. He said, that is incorrect. That doesn't mean mortality. He said, it means all this life, your life, all the life, all of it from the time we're premortal, all that. He said, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. And so then he asked me a question. He said, would your loved one, given their afflictions and the burdens that they carry, all of that, if they could have those lifted and see just truth, not all this fog, and they were standing before the Savior, because he bore testimony to me that he knew that the Savior was not going to let people go easy. There were going to be a lot of chances, and there were going to be a lot of love and a lot of waiting. That didn't bother him at all. I can just walk alongside you in your journey. I see your burdens. I understand the stuff behind the scenes that other people don't quite understand why you're acting like that, why you can't stop acting like that, how come you believe that, and what you don't understand that makes you head that direction instead of that direction, right? And so we're just, I'm choreographing and orchestrating lots of things, but this is your journey, and I did something amazing, right? So I could help walk here with you, whether you want me to be here or not. That's how cool it is. Everything is me. Even when you aren't with me, if you're outside, if you're touching a flower, if you're doing anything, I created those things. Nothing can separate you from God. Anyway, that it helped me so much. He says, what would your loved one do if he was standing before the Savior and the Savior asked him to come follow him? And if he was willing to let go of those things that are bothering you so much, would he say, no, no thanks? Or would he say yes and feel so grateful that he understood a little better, or that there was hope, or that without this burden, without this mental illness or whatever it was, there was a different way to go about and think about it? And so that was just so obvious. It was like, without even wondering about it, I said, absolutely, this loved one would totally say yes to Jesus. And they were like, oh, then yeah, you need to stop worrying about this. That helped me a lot. I needed that. Yeah, love you, ladies. Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us today, Warrior Moms. I invite you to make a donation at the top of our website, mothersyouknow.org. Any amount you can afford today will help us keep Mothers Who Know services free for all moms. Thank you so much for your generosity. Moms, remember your divine identity and great worth. Continue in your courageous efforts to support God's great work. Notice the miracles you see every day, the evidence of the Savior's love and mercy. Find the message in your message. Reach out and share the principles you learn in Mothers Who Know with other mothers. You are God's secret weapon for good in this world. Finally, a few pieces of information for you. I recommend a few other podcast channels to listen to, like Dragons Do They Fight podcast. That includes interviews and stories with those that have struggled and overcome something in their life. And the Eternal Warriors podcast, hosted by two YSA age young men who share their story, teach valuable lessons, and interview special guests. You can follow us on our social media pages on Facebook under mothersyouknow.lcs, or search for Mothers Who Know, and on Instagram, username @mothers_who_know. Last, if you would like additional support and training, please go to mompowertraining.com to sign up for the next 8-week Mom Power Training class for all moms. You can also go to the Mothers Who Know website at mothersyouknow.org, or our parent company, Life Changing Services, at lifechangingservices.org, to learn more about our excellent services to support you and your loved ones. Thank you so much for listening today. Please feel free to email me anytime with questions or to set up a complimentary 30-minute appointment to visit. Please email me at mothersyouknow@lifechangingservices.org. Looking forward to hearing from you, amazing moms. See you next time.